or just labor involved. We're going with a large single post sign. We agreed upon the colors, and then the verbiage we followed, MoDOT and the manual for uniform traffic control devices. The only change in that is the color of the signage. Manual for uniform traffic control devices recommends a brown sign, and we agreed upon a blue and white sign. For aesthetics, that's really all that drives that. There are two different types of memorial signs. There is military veterans that were killed in action, and there are David's Law, which is drunk driving accidents. Both of those applications, they're on two separate applications right now. Those are included as an extra part there. They're not part of the road standards. The road standards just reference the applications, primarily in case the applications need to be updated or changed, or you want to combine them into one application. That allows you the flexibility. Also, the road standards call for a fee schedule that Devin can put together yearly to reflect the cost for actual installing the sign and update that yearly. The road standards just reference that if you want to do one of these signs, that you would get with Devin, and he would tell you basically how much that costs. That the driver on that is going to be just how much the signs are costing year to year, and then we'll have to track basically how much is maintenance or something like that on the signs ongoing once we get them in place. Signs wear out, you know, the sun will fade them or somebody may shoot a hole in them, things like that may come up. MoDOT has a standard price tag, but it's quite high. It's like $1,200 to $2,000 starting, whereas Devin, in his research, has shown he can do it for considerably less and still have money to maintain the sign for a long time. So we're trying. That's kind of an ongoing thing. As we get into doing one of them, we can track those costs, and every year Devin can update kind of a fee schedule with the commission and say, here's roughly how much it cost us, so this is how much we should charge for that as a fee.
So the fee schedule is not part of this standard.
Correct.
It has to be determined.
Correct.
Annually.
Yes, mm-hmm. And then you can update it annually based upon what bids he's seeing for sign parts and stuff like that. Goal is not to make money with the signs, it's just to make sure that it doesn't cost the county anything. So that's what we felt would give us probably the most accurate numbers, is just to kind of add it up and then track it and see how it changes with each bid cycle and not have to reissue the entire road standards. Or cause a bit of a mess on that portion.
But included in that price would be material and the labor time it takes to put it in. And then, you know, we also need to consider somebody comes through there and hits it. Well, that person would replace it, not the county.
If you know who it is.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't know who it is.
Correct. But a lot of the times if they get bullet holes in them, we don't know, and you know that's why adding additional to each application will help cover that.
And so for the first year, we can kind of look through Devin's kind of historical. How long does a sign on average last? That can help us develop what an acceptable cost would be, because some signs seem to last a long time, and some signs don't live very long.
Depends on the name.
Is that an annual maintenance, or is it a maintenance that if a sign is not damaged and they pay?
People do not bother it. It will last for several years.
So the maintenance would only be as needed?
Correct.
So what typically what MoDOT and typically highway systems, they will charge the individual or the family one time. In hopes that they've got enough to cover the long-term maintenance of that sign. And or it becomes an ongoing. 20 years from now, it's a cost to the county, not the person at that point. But MoDOT, again, charges it like they charge a pretty decent number, depending on where it's at, what the sign is. But it's just a one-time fee. Pay it and go on. And so we're working to develop what that one-time fee or what the fee schedule should look like, basically to make sure it does not become a burden on the county. Obviously, we're only going to have a handful of these at the whole county, so it's not going to bankrupt the county. But at the same time, we don't want to cause any burden on the county if we can avoid it, and we still want to keep it from costing some crazy number per sign as well, so we're trying to find that correct balance. We do not have a number yet, and that's why we referenced to put it into a fee schedule that then could be updated to reflect what costs we're seeing, and allows you all to agree upon a yearly kind of schedule or fee structure. So Devin can present, hey, the signs are living an average of 6 years. We're seeing a cost of this $400 to install them or $500 to install them. So therefore, I would propose a $900 fee, and that would cover it for the first two whenever we replace it. Then after that, it would become a burden of the counties unless we wanted to drag that out. But we can. The fee portion itself is up for consideration, and we'd love to have input from the county if you can think of a how you might. Because it could become a long-term issue for the county or just a long-term ongoing cost, just like any sign would.
But here's a part on number 9. Signs remain in place for 10 years and may be renewed for an additional 10 years at 9 years. Another application and application fee are required to renew the memorial.
Thank you for pointing that out, because that was a question I was going to have to ask. I've not seen this until now, so I've not read it. But that was my concern, is how long, because... things
happen.
So we need
to figure a fee that would cover us basically up until then, until another one goes into place.
Yeah. And my next question, it may say this in this document, and I've not seen it, is how close can you put one together? Because if we're talking about veterans, we have, a lot of veterans. So how is there anything in the document, say we put one here and someone else comes forth with the same requirements?
Well, that's in there. To be determined by the county for safety and not interfere with our other signage.
Yeah, what we want to do with anybody placing a sign is we'd want Devin to look at it, make sure we don't have a sign conflict as a primary consideration for that, which we would just follow the manual for uniform traffic control devices, which we call out as following that, which gives recommended distances in between each sign. And then they update that every handful of years for different signage, and they cover memorial signs and spacing on that, depending on the road and the volume and the speed and the number of lanes. That said, it's primarily this is for killed in action, veterans, not general veterans, if that makes any sense. So... you don't tend to get quite as many applications because it has to be somebody that's killed in action. That said, the standard MoDOT one requires that the application be made by a parent of a young service person that's been killed in action, or brother or sister or spouse. We added child to that because we felt, there's a lot of people whose parents may have passed away in Vietnam or something like that, or even Desert Storm. And they may want to memorialize them. So we did add the children of the deceased would be available to make application as well.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we do have several in Taney County that have been killed in the Vietnam.
But we kind of default to the MUTCD, or Manual for Uniform Traffic Control Devices, for sign spacing and locations and how often you can put them. So that's where we would default to that area there.
So if it was someone from that same area, then the highway road and bridge department could work with them. Instead of having it on the same road, it could be on a road that would not interfere but could be close to their homes and so forth.
Yes.
The only time I look for it to actually go on a road, certain road, would be if they grew up on that road or something like that. Were born and raised.
Or the family, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have a lot of conflicts with people directly adjacent, but that may come up. If there's two service people on the same road that grew up there that passed away, but hopefully that's kept to a minimum and we can address that on a case-by-case if need be.
And it's also a law enforcement officer that's killed in the...
Yes. And then the David's Law is, that's the state of Missouri law, that's based upon drunk driving, accidents or impaired drivers. And so if somebody is killed, in an impaired driving accident, then, we open it up to signage, to remind people, to drive sober. The sign has a kind of a slogan on it. It does a memorial sign to the person, but also hopefully reminds the public to drive sober. Do you want to go over the other changes there, Devin? You want me to? Or?
Go in.
Let's see. Cheat sheet there.
All right, so those are the big two standards that are sections that we added to that. Now, I will give just a quick overview. On page 4, there's item 6. It says, engaged in the practice of engineering or architect, was changed to the practice of engineering or architecture. Basically just says the definition of what consultant is, and that just changed it to match the state's definition. Page 8, if you want to flip to that, section 1, item 3, would be after the first submission of plans. We changed it to say from it's the developer's responsibility to obtain such permits and approvals from MoDOT and provide copies to Taney County Road and Bridge. It is the developer's responsibility to obtain such approvals from MoDOT and provide copies to the Taney. There was a typo in the original. That's what we changed on that. Page 9, section 10, sidewalks, item 1. We updated it from a 4-foot minimum width to a 5-foot minimum width. ADA allows for a 4-foot minimum sidewalk width as long as you have bump outs so two wheelchairs can pass each other periodically. But that becomes kind of a nightmare to make sure everybody has the proper bump outs and everything. ADA recommends a 5-foot, and so does ProWag, which is, ADA primarily covers buildings, but the law still applies to sidewalks. ProWag, is the pedestrian version of that, where they take the ADA law and they try to apply it to federal highway system. And so that document also recommends, yes, 4-foot is legal, but we recommend 5 so you don't have somebody complain that you don't have enough of the bump outs. Page 10, sidewalk item 2, modified minimum curb width from 5-foot to 6-foot, and that just, again, we're just updating our. And then on section 10, page 10, we updated our joint spacing to match the sidewalk width. So that's just some minor details on your construction joint spacing for sidewalks. Page 10, we did a temporary construction easement shall be shown on the plat or separate document for all areas outside of the right-of-way to accommodate cut slopes, fill slopes, trenches, and et cetera. And that's primarily just to show that there's documentation that the contractor or the anybody has the legal right to be doing the work there in that area, so we don't end up with somebody complaining that you approved improvements, but they didn't have the right to actually do those.
Most of these would be in regard to, like, subdivisions?
Correct. And so it could be a subdivision road that's connecting to Taney County road system. It could be a new development. These kind of encompass all road building by private citizens or private companies in the county. And so just ensuring that they have the legal authority to be doing road cuts and fills, and Road and Bridge approved that I could do this. Well, we'll approve it. As long as you can prove that you've got a easement from the people who own the land legally, if you're having to cut across a piece of land or your grading has to go onto somebody else's land for a temporary time, we need documentation that they've signed off on it as well, because we don't want to get into a landowner dispute on that. So what
would
could happen?
Would they not come before P&Z or Board of Adjustments before on that?
Yes, it should. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's on page.
Because on some plats now, they show different easements, but the or separate document, they can report the document.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're just after making sure that what they plan to do they have the legal right to do it, and we don't end up into a mess.
You're asking, on any new subdivision that's going to have road